Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by comedian and host of the What's Your Jersey podcast, Jacqueline Marfuji, to talk about the funnier sides of sex, as well as some of the more intimate stuff. Topics include why it's okay to stop performing during sex and do what makes you feel good. Is your sexual bar climbing too high for your partner? What to do about it? Sex is more than just physical. It's mental, too. And how to make a dating profile that will get you more swipes. All this and more. Thanks for listening. Something magical happened this year. The magic wand turned 50. Just think about how much the world has changed over the last 50 years. I'm talking disco to dubstep, payphones to cell phones. I mean, do you realize the magic wand came out a full year before we landed on the moon? That blows my mind. There's a reason the magic wand has stood the test of time. It's just that freaking good. Time magazine named it one of the most iconic inventions. Cosmo calls it the little black dress of vibrators. In other words, it's the one vibrator you need to have. In case you haven't seen one at any point over the last 50 years, the magic wand is a full-size massager. And yes, it works great on the shoulders too. For most women, its power and size make it the ultimate clitoral vibe. I call it the sure thing. And because things get better over time, you now have two models to choose from. The original plug-in version for constant power, or the variable speed rechargeable version for cordless convenience. I've been obsessed with my magic wand since before I started the show. I even had my nightstand modified so I could keep it plugged in from inside the drawer. That's how much I love a magic wand. If you haven't tried one, what are you waiting for? Just go to magicwandemily.com. That's magicwandemily.com to order yours today.
Look into his eyes. Eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com because it's awesome. We have a great website where we put up a bunch of blogs and posts and things that will help you have better sex and relationships. Also, you guys, so cool when you subscribe to the podcast. So you can listen so many places now, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. And we love when you review the show. Love when you give us 5 stars. That's really cool. It helps the show so we can continue to bring you 2 shows a week. And we are at Sex with Emily across the board. So follow us there, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And that's what I got for you. Now I'm going to introduce my guest, Jacqueline Marfuji.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
She's so fun. Okay, you guys, I just did her podcast, so you're going to have to listen to it. It's called What's Your Jersey? And I met her recently, and you know, we were both on a podcast called It's Complicated, and she came as like we were both like guests on the show. And she was just one of these cool chicks. And you guys, this happens in life, and I want people to be on the lookout for this. When you talk about there's no great people, it's hard to find. You know when you meet someone cool, whether you're looking for a man or woman or a friend, and we just hit it off. We loved her energy. We like got to come on the show.
Yeah.
So we did her podcast. She's doing mine. She's a podcast called What's Your Jersey? She reveals how our roots influence our everyday lives and makes us funny. She learns about where our guests from, how it shaped them. I talked about my whole Michigan upbringing. Yeah. She calls her fans meatballs, and she brought me meatballs and wine. Like, I knew I loved her, but then she came in with food. So she's awesome. She's also a comedian, actress, plyo jam instructor. She's done a bunch of stuff. She's in a long-term relationship.
I am.
Yeah, she's just very wise and sexy and a hot mom. I'm glad she's here. Jacqueline Marfuji, welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be here.
I'm so glad.
You have no idea. And I'm so happy you actually ate the meatballs.
Oh, we eat.
Right?
Like 3 or 2. I don't know.
I mean, that...
Like, chicks don't eat meatballs in LA.
Right?
We
That's
down
a thing.
Them.
Oh, yeah. We down those meatballs.
We do. Thank you. We really appreciate that. I want to know, how has your background shaped you, by the way? You're
My
from
background.
New Jersey.
I am.
What's your jersey? That's why it's so clever. Because she talks sports. And she talks, like, also your background, like, what's your jersey?
Yeah.
What's your game? But how has your background being from New Jersey influenced you?
Well, I think being from New Jersey, like, it definitely, I was always, like, a little scrappy. like, I had a little edge, like, to hang out with my brother and my dad on the weekends. I had to go to Giant Stadium and, like, go to football games. And, like, so that always kept me kind of girl's girl, guy's girl. Like, there was always a dichotomy there.
Right.
But I also grew up in, like, an Italian Catholic family. I grew up watching The Sopranos. Like, The Sopranos were my acting teachers in New York. Like, what? I literally went to Michael Imperioli's acting school.
Wow, okay.
You know, like, coming out of college, like, I was doing a show in Atlantic City and, like, go hang out with, like, James Gandolfini and, like...
Oh, my God. It was your religion.
Yeah, like, it. So growing up, like, I feel like there was always, like... Not like a mob wife mentality, but kind of just like, you know, like the guys are the guys and like the girls are just always made up. Like I was always taught, my mom was always like maintenance. Like you need to keep yourself maintained. Like if your nails are done and your toes are done, guys are going to think something else is done. So like get it together.
Your mom told you this?
Yes.
At what age?
Very young. Like she worked in a salon. So I was getting like bikini waxes.
How great though to have a mom who knows this stuff.
Yeah. Like, but
it can also
a fault. Yeah. Right.
You're like, Mom, I'm nine. Exactly. I don't even have nails yet. Right.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have hair to wax.
Right.
Stop. But yeah, like it was great because I always was put together. There was always like a big emphasis on like how we looked kind of. And that I think growing up kind of, I don't know, like messed with my head a bit.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Everything does.
Yeah. And yeah.
That's
yeah.
What our life, really. We have to observe our childhoods because that's where we learn our lessons.
Yeah. But yeah. I loved growing up right outside of New York City because I think I grew up fast. I always loved, like, my parents always talked about how we were, like, in the country in New Jersey. And the first time they brought me into New York, I opened the car door in the meatpacking district. And I was like, oh, I can finally breathe.
Right. It felt like home.
Yeah. And my dad was like, there's animal carcass next to you. Right. And I was like, no, I loved energy. Like,
right.
I would sneak into New York and take like Broadway dance classes and say I was at a girlfriend's house. Like,
so you always knew you wanted to perform.
Yeah. That was, I didn't realize that. Emily and I talked about like what we did when we were younger. But
it's going to be hard not to reference your podcast because we just literally talked for an hour and a half. So you have to check out what's your jersey. Yeah, you're going to love it. You're really good too.
And I didn't realize it. Thank you.
Yeah. I revealed a lot of deep, dark secrets.
Oh, okay. All the things, yeah. Guys. I used to, before, I mean, I would watch the TV show Friends. That was my favorite show. And I would transcribe just everything they said. And I would tape all the episodes. Yeah. And then I would like type it up and print out scripts. And my first job, I was a hostess at like my uncle's restaurant. And I would like bring in my scripts and like make the waiters like read
the
lines
with me. Scripts
to
Friends that weren't even real scripts.
Yeah.
Just so you could be like Rachel, or who would you want to be?
Rachel.
Rachel.
I was
always
it started out as Phoebe. I
she's wacky. Right.
Loved blondes. I grew up, every woman in my family was like a beautiful blonde, like trophy wife.
Okay.
And so at first, I'm always attracted to blondes. I would make a joke that I attract blondes as like friends.
Right. All your friends are friends. Right.
Now I'm equal opportunity.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Because I'm a brunette, as you know.
Yes. But then Rachel, I automatically connect. Yeah. I mean, who didn't loved connect her. With yeah, like Rachel Karen Green?
So good. Right. Exactly.
Please.
That's so great. You read her scripts. You're like 17 at the time or working at a restaurant?
I was 15? Probably younger.
Okay.
Yeah. I was 15? Like 14 or 15. Okay. But I also was obsessed with magazines. I was always obsessed with like Cosmo and like I was on dance teams. I always was getting in trouble for being like a sexy dancer when I didn't really even know what that meant. But I was really good at like Bob Fosse was like a huge thing for me. Like I loved just jazz and like all that stuff. Like I was
so you
just
like moving your body. You're in your body.
Very,
like and you dance and you teach dance. Yeah. So what do you mean you were a sexy dancer? Like
just like I remember
you're beautiful. You have beautiful striking features. So you're like very like you beautiful eyes and like you great cheekbones and your body. Like you are like a sexy, like if you had a bag in your head. I would just know, like, right?
Thank
I guess
you
I'd have
so
seen
much
face.
For saying I have
no, I mean
bones.
It.
I have the roundest face.
But you just have a beautiful face,
thank
like
you.
A beautiful everything. So, yeah, I could see that. So as a kid, but you weren't, like, trying to be sexy.
I wasn't trying to be sexy. I just always liked, like, Paula Abdul, Madonna.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
When I was seven, my uncles were like, you should get, like, a cone bra and put her toys in it. Like, they would, like, make jokes about that. And I was just, like, always very intrigued by all that stuff. And, like, I would love to, like, steal, like, porn and, like, right. do all that stuff. And it was always, like, a side of me that I know existed. And then once I started, like, getting, like, curves and stuff, it was kind of like stifled. And like I was always told like that's not okay. And like you can't be sexual and sex is bad. Yeah. And like it was just always bad. So I kind of like revolted against that and became a little wild, I would say.
High school?
Like end of high school, like college. I always had boyfriends, but like I always loved like performing for them.
Right.
So
like in the bedroom? Like in the bedroom. Dancing, yeah. Sexy. Like, okay.
All that stuff, which meant like I never orgasmed.
Right. Because you were about performance.
I was performing.
Right.
Like that, it was just like
what you saw in porn. Right. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you thought they expected. And your mom probably said some things, maybe like you have to always look good or bring it.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't sex, you could have expanded into that.
Totally.
So then what happened? Wait, okay, so back up. So when you felt sexy, what was your first, like, did you, your first orgasm? Do you remember?
God. Like a year ago.
Right. No, I'm serious though. Because, right. Yeah. Well, I was saying, I was like 23 or something, but some girls are like young and have orgasms at 7. Like when they're riding a bike or they're in the shower by mistake.
No,
but you didn't till that class, right?
I definitely like started. I was probably like 14, but I didn't have like an orgasm necessarily. But I remember getting like turned on and like, you know, touching and like going and playing and doing all that and being like, okay. But like, I didn't understand how it worked.
Of course not, because we don't know anything like that.
Right. So it definitely took a really, really, and I thought there was something wrong with me for years. Like boyfriends would get frustrated with me, and I just gave up. I was like, "This just isn't gonna happen."
Yeah, I thought that too. I totally get it. So, what happened with guys when you? When did you realize that you were just performing, but not orgasming? Like at 20, you said it wasn't until you were like in your 20s, which I can relate to. What was it? Was there a point where you're like, I actually want to figure out, how I could feel better in bed? And
so I would say. I had a boyfriend who I was like really in love with, but he was just, he was apparently engaged when we met, which is
one of those.
Right. Yes. I was like a junior in college when we met, and it was one of those things where literally we shook hands and I was like, oh fuck.
One of those. Yeah. This is the chemistry.
Yeah.
That's real.
Which like only happens a few times, I think, in your lifetime where you're like, oof. And it was like an immediate thing, and it was summer romance, and he was a chef, which I don't know if I'd recommend that. You know,
working late in the kitchen,
it's
or
rough.
DJs either. Yeah,
yeah,
I get it.
And I was young; I was 20. I was living at home. I was going back to school, and then I remember I went into work. I was waitressing, and I went into work and opened up the reservation book and just went a few like months ahead, and I saw his name and then his then fiance's name in the reservation book as their rehearsal dinner.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you're like, what?
So that's how I found out. And it crushed me. My parents, like my mom came and got me. Like it was a whole thing. We broke up. And then he ended up, because he had always told me they were living together and that
It wasn't working,
and that they broke up. But they're trying. She's older and controlling, and trying to find a new all this stuff. And so they did actually end up breaking off the wedding, and the wedding was like in Miami. Like they, so I think I saved his life. Actually,
yeah, that's a good twist of narrative there.
Yes.
I get it.
And but the problem was is that I was still desperately in love with him, and we, you know, kept talking and going back and forth, and it was like forbidden by my parents, and then he would drive up to Rhode Island and like come see me at school. It was like this whole thing. And you know, after we finally like really broke everything off, I kind of like shut down, and like
I had to shut your body down. Like
I went on like Prozac. Like it was it was a whole thing. And so I didn't really feel anything.
Right. Just like dead.
And then I just kind of And which is something at the time, like I never really knew I could talk to anyone about.
Right.
I should have had this podcast.
I know.
Damn it.
I wish we talked, but now we know. Okay.
Yeah. And so then I moved to LA and I started dating someone, and he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, like, and it became a thing. And then I got more and more into my head.
Yeah. Because the more someone says, what the fuck wrong with you? All you're thinking is, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why aren't I orgasming? Right.
Exactly.
That's so, no way to get someone to orgasm.
Nope. Exactly.
That's the way to not.
Yes. So then it just became a whole thing, and I would fake it or, you know, and then like I was just not having sex for a while, and until honestly, like I met someone that I like really cared about.
Right. Your boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Who you're like crazy about.
I know. Love it. It's so weird. It's been weird. 2 years,
right? Do you guys live together?
We do.
Okay.
He moved in 3 months ago.
Wow. He moved in with you.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. No, not weird. I don't even know him, but that's so cool. It seems like just you can tell by the way people talk about their boyfriends, like you seem like you're really solid.
I'm a big fan.
I know. That's so good.
Yeah. I feel like we're on the same team.
That's right. I always say, you got to remember, you guys, whoever you're dating, are you guys on the same team? Like, we should think about it. Like, the way you handle things, are you like, oh, I hope I get mine and they get theirs and I'm in charge of something and I'm not going to tell them about it? Just remember that you both love the same thing. If you're in a relationship, be on the same team. So you're on the same team. Good. Mm-hmm. So do you guys talk about how your sex is amazing?
I wouldn't say it's like off the wall. Right. Like, okay. This is something like I have questions for you.
Ask me questions.
I feel like I used to be like so adventurous. Like my favorite movie was Eyes Wide Shut. Right. Like I one of the guys I dated in LA, like for Valentine's Day, he was like, let's go to Sanctum.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay. But then I checked myself and I was like, I'm not that cool of a girl. Like, right. I don't think that would actually make me feel good. And then we ended up like breaking things off.
Right.
We just
Sanctum is like a sex. It's not a sex club. It's like a play club. Player. It's like you go there and there's a lot of couples and single women and you can have play. You can hook up with chicks and people are doing bondage and dancing.
There's like different rooms.
Yeah, I've been invited a few times. I haven't gone, but I know all about it.
You know what's weird? Like, I don't know if you pay attention to pings, and I just learned about this.
No, tell me.
Where things in your life, in the like universe that pop up around you, and if you're not like paying attention to something that's repeatedly around you, you're like missing them.
Uh-huh.
And I keep seeing like street art that's the Sanctum logo. And I'm like, what does this mean, universe?
Oh, does it mean we need to go tonight after this? We're already drinking wine. We just had some wine here, you guys. Right. Yeah, I don't know.
If we could bring all the sex toys in your closet.
Oh my God, just wait. I don't know. Wait, are you sure it's just their logo or is it a logo that looks like the Sanctum logo?
It's their logo and it says Sanctum under it.
So what you're saying is with your boyfriend, how do you bring it and how do you feel sexy? And I get that because we go in phases where we feel on and off, but maybe there's a point of discovery that you have to like figure out what that is for you, like to be sexy and to, I mean, because I did all those things. I would fake orgasms. I would try to be sexy how I thought they were sexy and do the moves, but I wasn't feeling it in my body until I like, did the work, masturbated, figured out what was authentically a turn on for me.
Yeah.
And then I could bring that energy once I would work with my partner on it or whatever. So you got to like figure out, maybe it's you don't know yet.
For the first half of the relationship, I feel like I had like my mom's voice in my head where it was like, you need to act this way. You need to cook for him. You always need to have your stuff perfect. Or like, what does he like? So I would be like, what turns you on? And like, it would be the opposite of like certain lingerie things that I liked. And then we finally talked about it because we just went away. I was in a wedding. So like we had to go away together this weekend. And I was like starting to buy like cute outfits that I thought he would like. And I came home and I was like, do you even like this shit anymore? Like, what are you into now? You know? And he was like, I think just get whatever turns you on.
Right. I get such a good point.
You know?
Like, no, because I feel like I've been in that situation as well where guys are like, oh, I like you to wear, you know, whatever it was with guys, I'm trying to think, like, they're into the tube socks, like the girls with the high white socks.
Why do they love that?
I don't know. And I'm like, so I'm not going to go. I have no room in my drawers for these big socks. People have a room, and I don't think it's sexy. So I think guys are just fishing for it at some point. But I believe if you show up, a woman shows up with what you feel sexy in, like you go shopping with your girlfriends or by yourself and you go find what it makes you feel and you can move in those ways that you feel sexy, that's what's freaking sexy, I think. Mm-hmm. But I used to that too. I used to cater to what they wanted, what they wanted to try. And I think it's the way we're born. Even though my mother never explicitly talked to me about it, there was a sense that it was for the men. Sex was for the men, doing it for them, what they want. I didn't know it was okay to bring that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And even so, in the beginning, I thought I was wearing like black lace stuff and stuff that was like constricted and whatnot.
Uncomfortable.
And I was like, well, this is sexy. It's like bondage-y and whatever. And he was like, I'm not really into that stuff. And then I realized I really wasn't either.
Right.
I was like, this is supposed to be sexy, but like it's not. So I think we're finding like a happy medium.
That's good. Now. That's good.
But like for me now, I feel like I want to be more playful. Like we're now hitting that point. Not that like the sex isn't good. I'm happier with him than anyone else I've ever been with. But I feel like I want to step it up a notch and like play around and be a little freer with
Totally. So what's your like, do you have any fantasies you keep coming back to or something you've been wanting to try? We can work this through here. Then you could go home tonight and like take care of it.
I know. I think he was very excited for me to come. Oh, on this podcast, good. Actually.
I can't wait. Love it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And now that you've said that, we've had so many women who have told me that have been on the show, they're like, my husband couldn't wait, or my boyfriend keeps listening to it. It's just funny. Like, this happens that girls come out and they're like, they learned so much about their partners when they come on this show. I've had several women who are like, my husband, boyfriend keep listening. So this is good.
Really?
Yes. I think it's really helpful.
I just want to help all of you guys.
No, we're going
to
get to that.
I need to stop doing that. God.
Oh, you want to help? No.
Helping other people.
But
I need
this,
to help
But
myself.
You telling your story right now is helpful. So let's talk about what you might want.
Well, for me, I have a joke. I think I even told it
She's
on the other
comedian,
one.
She's a comedian, super fun. I want to come to one of your shows.
Yes, I have a show tonight, but okay. I'm not going to make you go to a bar in Hollywood to come see me.
Not tonight. I can't, but I would in the future. Okay, go ahead. What's your thinking or your joke?
I have a joke about quiet sex. And I'm like, has anyone been with a quiet fucker before? And then I do this whole act out, and it's fun. It's funny, guys. It gets
it's
laughs.
Funny. She's a comedian. She knows.
And it's about guys not like saying anything to us. And I'm like, guys, if you're not telling us we're doing a good job, the only voices we're hearing are the ones inside our heads.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then I just go through like a laundry list of like, my leg looks pale. Where's my checkbook? I should go tanning. Like, right. And just how
it's
we.
So true.
Just all of
that.
He hates
me. He's not feeling good. Is he dead? Is he alive? I can't tell. Does he like it? I do this right.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. It's a good joke because it's true.
Thank you. Well, I think that's why people like it, because it is true. So to get out of my head sometimes, because I can be in my head, because sometimes it takes me a little longer. Sometimes if I've had some wine or whatever, he's like, God damn it, this is going to be longer.
Is he saying that or you're saying that?
I feel like he's thinking it.
But we don't know that he is.
I feel like I know he is. He's made comments about like, if I have wine, it definitely takes me longer too.
Okay.
When he's going downtown.
Right.
When it comes to like sex things, not so much.
Okay.
But it does take longer. And it might be because he said that and then I get in my head.
Right. He's probably said it once because maybe he was drunk too and it was taking too long that night.
Oh.
It's probably not even real anymore.
I'm the queen of like taking like a word out of your sentence. Right. And remembering hanging
forever.
On it.
Yeah.
Hanging on it.
I'm breaking all that down because I don't think it's true anymore.
Really?
I really don't. No. I think he wants to please. Maybe was it early on or one time?
Yeah.
No. He wants to please you. He moved in with you. Like, this guy's committed, wants to make you happy.
Totally.
Because women, we all worry that like it's taking too long to orgasm. They're going to leave. I always tell men, my oral sex advice to men, if you're with a woman is, and I guess it could also be with you're with a man, but I'm telling you, this is women worry. Does he not want to be there? Is he into this? And if a guy can say, you know what, babe, just lay back, make yourself comfortable. I'm not going anywhere. I got all night. Like, that's just because then we know they're in. I can't wait to please you.
They're in it to win it.
Yeah.
He's really good about that in that sense for like all about me.
Right.
Like just determined and like in it to win it. But I do get my head because I'm like, oh, it's taking too long. So to help with that, I sometimes like to have music on.
Yeah, music is so good.
But I feel awkward like breaking the moment and being like, Alexa, put I'm a Slave for You on. I feel like it kind of like takes us out of it. So like, do I like pre-plan? Like I feel like there's all these steps.
No, but that's... No one's thinking. No.
Okay.
No. What does he get? No.
No. So do I just feel like
I
hold
love
on,
the Alexa? I actually do have Alexa. Someone bought me one. I should probably do that because I forget to turn my music on. I don't think that there is any right or wrong way to do it. The fact that you got the music on and it helps you.
Yeah.
Who cares?
There's another thing. Like, obviously, like I'm not scared of people and performing and whatever, but I get nervous sometimes when I think about like going home and like I would love to do like role playing stuff or like I have tons of costumes, I have all this stuff, but I don't know why with him I'm so like, no, like I'll be embarrassed or like,
really? Okay.
And so I want to break through that because like he's so good at that shit and like love, like he's down
fun.
For
he works
whatever.
In comedy, right? He's like cool. He
And I feel like it would be really fun if I could just fucking get over myself.
Yeah, you just gotta like be wearing the costume when he comes home, or tell him that we left the show. I love when people use this as like the show is like a tool for it. You can be like, I just have sex with Emily, and I told her I was gonna wear this costume for you that I've had. I'm gonna do it now. Done. Or you wear it when he gets home. Like you almost have to tonight if he's home.
Okay.
Because then you'll do it and you'll feel great and it'll be fun. And like the role playing thing, here's the thing about role playing. It's awkward and you could laugh and it could be weird for the first 5 minutes. And then you get through that, or maybe not. But then it just becomes like this thing that you did. I think that the hardest part about having great sex and doing different things that we're so afraid for those moments. And then that starting, like the ripping the band, like how do you just do it? And I think you just do it.
I feel like
it's time.
I've been like letting go of certain fears in my actual life. Like fear
what?
Of just fear, like having side jobs and like fear of just like really going for what I want.
Right.
And
what do you really want? Comedy?
I want to be on a set every day doing a TV show and touring and movies and Broadway, all the things.
Okay.
You know, Jennifer Lopez just did a speech on the VMAs about her career. And I don't think she's the best actress or the best dancer or the best singer, but I love what she fucking does. She does what makes her happy.
Right.
And she's like, she's giving this speech about how everyone was like, you need to pick a lane. And she's like, why?
Right.
Like, why not? Why can't I do all these things? So that's kind of my career.
It's so true. I never understood that either.
Like, I hate that.
Why would, keep going towards doing what you love.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you some toys and stuff when you leave that might be good inspiration.
Okay.
Some like Bond. Are you into like?
I'm into, I've never really let anyone do it to me. Like I've always.
Tie you up? Oh yeah. Because you're the performer.
I'm the performer. So I've tied up. I've blindfolded. But I've never just like let go. I've been like, do what you want.
Maybe that's what you need, some letting go and then trusting that they really want to be there and please you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're going to set up for you.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We can do that. We have the capabilities. I have some questions for you.
Perfect.
We're going to have you answer some questions for our listeners in a second, but I have some questions for you. There's a game. We have a game too. It's called The Effing Truth. And it's a really fun card game, but I just pulled out a few questions. I love it because if you have friends over or you're just with, you know, and you want to play this game, it's a great way to get, or even with a couple, to talk about your sex life. Talk to you about something that you feel confident about in sexual situations. We've talked about areas where you're like, I'm not sure, but what do you feel the most confident in your sexual?
I feel like I've mastered the blowjob.
Yeah.
I feel like.
What's your top blowjob tip?
Definitely enough like saliva.
Yes.
Like that you need like.
A dry blowjob, no.
Yeah.
Oh, here's some blowjob spray. You should try it right here. I use it to lubricate my mouth before the show.
Is that what you were spraying in your eye?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, but wouldn't that be funny? That was my eye drops. Blowjobs. Okay, good. Very lubricated.
This is great.
Yeah, you can
and
try
I
it.
Use,
it's strawberry.
I try to use like both hands, but you know what the funny thing? My main squeeze has no problem saying like harder like directing me. I don't
good.
Know why like I have issues with that, but
with him directing you, you would have, because you probably you would have issues with him directing you.
No,
you have
with
issues
me
directing,
directing
him.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's fine with
so what, because you think it's because it's your mother's voice, like you're just there
so.
To provide.
Yeah.
And if
I also don't want to like embarrass the dad or the brother, my dad, my brother, like it was a very just like
let me tell you something, guys are dying to know what we want and need. They're just fumbling around trying to figure it out.
Yes.
I think a lot of times, and so I think he would love to know
for sure.
Yes.
So this is
okay. So that's blowjob spray.
Blowjobs.
That's good.
Blowjob,
you got some blowjob tips. That's awesome. Okay.
But what is a good tip? Because I usually just like go for it, like the foreplay in between it.
Oh, what do you mean?
Just like, am I supposed to like hang out like on the chest area and like play with
I
that?
I think wherever you feel. Oh, you mean like I used to make out and they kiss them slowly down their chest instead of just going for the pants?
Yeah.
I think it's, again, it's taking time when you slow down. I think, I think we all just kind of do a deep dive into the blowjob. But I think that a massage, warming each other up because we get the anxiety out of the body. Yeah, kissing his chest if he's into it. I think that they're into it. Here's the thing about sex. It's energy. I'm not talking about like woo energy. It's like physics. Like it's truly the way that we are, like we impact each other. He can feel it. You can feel it. So if you're into it, like you are into him energetically, like you're turned on by kissing, he's going to feel it.
Yeah.
So there's no right or wrong, but play with it if you don't usually and see.
Okay.
And then blowjob tips. Yes. It's what it's definitely keeping it wet and lubed is so important.
Right.
Use lube, flavored lube if it doesn't work. We have some great
flavored lube.
We're going to give you some. We've got some like gelato flavor. You'll be like, what? Your penis like tapes tastes like gelato. Like I will go down on you all night. Yeah. System Joe makes really great lube. Strawberry flavor. Yeah. Just because it also, your mouth sometimes is not as lubricated.
Yeah.
I think hands are great. Your hands, use your mouth and your hands. It's not just a hand thing. It's not just a mouth thing.
Embarrassing toothpaste story.
Okay.
With blowjobs were.
Tell me. There is one here about your embarrassing sex situation.
Oh, okay. We'll save it
so,
for that.
No, do that. Go ahead. You're already cut ahead.
So I had always heard that if you put like an Altoid in your mouth, that's like good for like blowjobs, whatever. I didn't have an Altoid. This was very new in our relationship. We had just started like sleepover, sex, everything. It's dark in the room. And I remembered I had a small tube of toothpaste in my bag. And so I just like reached over in the dark and squeezed the entire thing in my mouth and just went to town. And he, because we're still like polite, like let it go for a little bit, and then finally just started like tapping me. I was like, get up, and like ran to the bathroom, came out like 20 minutes later, and he was like, what was in your mouth? And I was like, what, you didn't like it?
And it was toothpaste. It just made it
a mouthful of toothpaste. It was just burning.
Right.
And
oh my gosh.
Because
deeper than an Altoid, right.
Such pride. I was just like, what? And he was like, have you ever done that before? And I was like, yeah, everyone loves it. You're kind of a bitch.
Like, is that what you did?
Yes. Like, I was just
too I would have been so mortified. I would have been. But you, I wouldn't have known to do. That's so tough. The tough girl that is to be like, what do you mean?
Yeah, no, it's great.
That is a great friggin' story. So don't use toothpaste.
Don't use toothpaste.
But we have something. We have tingling lube. We have other things that he might like.
Okay.
That's hilarious. That's a great story.
I think he's petrified of me putting anything in my mouth.
You were like, what do you mean, babe? All the other dudes liked it. Do you want to know their names and how big they were?
Yeah.
Bigger than you.
Or do you want to shut up?
Exactly.
Never talk about this again.
Awesome. That's a really good story. Okay. I think we'll do one more and then we're going to go on to, have you had sex with someone who you considered a celebrity? And or you can answer, pretended you or your partner was someone else during sex.
Kind of, and yes. I have come on. Celebrity-wise, who did I? God, guys, I promise I'm not like, I haven't had sex with hundreds and hundreds of people, and that's totally fine. No judgments. I'm just trying to like think back because I've tried to like block a lot of them out.
I get it.
God, celebrity. I feel like I've had celebrity encounters. I don't want to say a name, but I have, just because this caused issues in my relationship, with a certain boy bander.
Oh.
Yes, who's toured, who you would know who he is.
Okay.
And there is a song, called Liquid Dreams that I feel like. Ooh. So that's kind of like someone that you definitely know from one of those.
Got it.
I've come on terribly to James Gandolfini when we were RIP.
Oh, because you grew up.
We were in Atlantic City.
Yeah,
happy birthday. And he was just like, calm the fuck down. Like,
right.
He was like, your teachers would be mad.
Right.
Like,
but that's right.
I did do that. I'm trying to think of anyone else. Oh, I feel like I have other stories.
You'll think about them. That's what we got for that. Okay. Thank you for answering that, Jacqueline Marfuji. Check out our podcast. You're going to stay. We're going to answer questions.
Yeah.
People. Okay, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. We love you all, and I'll be right back. The Big O. Everyone's always asking me about it. How do I get there? Or I've never had one, or I can only have it on my own. Some people are like, I can only have it when I'm sleeping, Emily. That is actually a thing. You guys, but here's the thing about sex. It's not so linear, and it shouldn't only be focused on orgasms. What about your pleasure? What about intimacy? What about finding other ways to feel good? I just want you all to think about sex differently, because there's a lot more to healthy sex than just orgasms. However, I'm not saying orgasms aren't amazing. I mean, they are. You see, I can't guarantee you orgasms, but I can give you some tools to help you along the way. Thanks to AdamandEve.com, because they want to get you there too with their Big O Kit. It comes with a great little mini vibe, plus a special climax gel that gets everything extra tingly. It's a great combo for some amazing pleasure. But also, they want to give you more than the Big O. You can also get 50% off one of your items and free shipping. I mean, have you been to AdamandEve.com? They have so many toys, like literally every product you'd want, they have. All you have to do is use code Emily at checkout, and all the above can be shipped discreetly to your door. So while I can't promise you an orgasm, I can promise you a whole lot of pleasure and at least one Big O. So check it out. You'll get 50% off almost any single item, free shipping, and the free Big O kit. Head over to AdamandEve.com and enter code Emily at checkout. All right, here we go. Jacqueline Marfuji is with me. We're going to answer your questions, which is what I love doing, you guys. Wags on the planet. Okay, we love answering your questions. It's why I do what I do. You can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979, or you can go to the Ask Emily tab on our website, and you can send us a message through there. Always, always, always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, we've got Devin, 34, from Texas. Hello, Emily. I'm a big fan of the show. Thanks for the work you do. Let me first begin by saying I'm in a wonderful marriage with my wife. Together 19 years and married 11. We've built a wonderful family. She's my best friend and we're completely crazy for each other. We have a great sex life, but I'm the more sexual one. Over time in our relationship, because of my appetite for more and different sexual experience, I've robbed her of her sexual or intimate trust, meaning she's often hesitant to push the envelope or try new things because she's afraid I'll just want to take it up a notch next time. The truth is, she feels this way in part because of her own mental state, but also in large part to my actions. She's expressed she wants to push the envelope, but is scared I won't be satisfied and I'll just want more or something else. She trusts me wholly everywhere else in her life. I want to re-earn her trust here for so many reasons. I'd love your feedback. So I know that was a lot. Let me explain. So what he's saying is they have a great sex life, 19 years, children, the whole thing. But when he started to ask her for different things, she feels like, you know, you're going to raise the bar. Like, if you give me a threesome tonight, you're going to want an orgy tomorrow. She does want to try new things. It's complicated, but she's afraid that if she does, he's going to keep raising the bar. So yeah. They're in an interesting communication situation where they're not communicating.
And there's something else there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, definitely. So what I'm saying, Devin, is that the thing that gave me pause here is that you said you've robbed her of her sexual or intimate trust. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm just not sure what is going on. If it was one time that you maybe pushed something and she had a weird reaction to it, because this feels like your own agenda. And what I want to know what her agenda is. Like, what are her fantasies? What does she want to try? Like, she has to lead this whole thing with your own guidance, not like going along with like what you want.
It just sounds like a power struggle thing.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it's a baby step situation where he's Devin to get her to try it, like give you an inch, like you have to chill the fuck out after it.
Yeah. Yes. You know, just show her that like that was enough and keep talking about how great it was last night that you finally let me tie you up or something, but not keep pushing it. And the fact that you know that she's going to want you to keep pushing it means that you literally can't.
You cannot.
No, like you can't ever push it. So I think if you guarantee that you're not going to push it, but you're going to work on her fantasies, not your own.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's about her, not him, not what he wants. And I think that she's like us, like how I was, how you've been, like, what do they want? So.
Because maybe she'll feel like safe space if he's like, screw what I'm thinking about. Let's do it.
Let's figure it out. And if she doesn't know, like, figure it out together. Like, this is where I love porn for couples when you find what both turned you on. Because she doesn't know, since we need information coming in, she'd be like, that was really hot the way this guy spanked her. Or, oh, it's hot to, like, read erotica. Like, just find what her images are and things that turn her on. So that's what I think you should do, and take it slow and let her lead.
And I feel like she'll be like, excited to come home and like try new stuff.
Yeah, it gets fun when you get. Once you get into the groove of trying new things, like when you go home tonight,
very excited
with whips and chains and the costume,
with
a dungeon, it's like a pop up dungeon. It's cool. You're gonna be so psyched. You're gonna be great.
50 Shades of Emily.
I know, it's true. Okay, so this is from Bethany. This is from Instagram. Hey Emily, I'm so glad I came upon your Instagram. Is it true that in order to have great sex or even good sex, you have to mentally be into it? Even when I'm alone, it's not the best and I want it so bad. Does ADHD have anything to do with it? I need help. I feel broken. I totally understand that. You are not broken at all. No, we are. None of us are broken. In fact, the fact that you even asked this question shows that you are like very aware of what's going on with you and that you're not into it and that you want to be into it. See, here's what's confusing. Yes, you have to mentally be into it. You have to get your brain on board for sex, but you don't want your brain in there where it's distracting and you're thinking about the ADD, all the things you have to do. So when you have an ADD mind, which I do, like the only time I'm the most focused is when I'm doing the show, I understand that, you have to spend time thinking about, like I was just saying, like what turns you on, what gets you in the mood, all those things, pamper, like I think especially for ADD, all the stuff I talk about are like the senses, like make sure you have the music playing, the candles lit, like you need senses to anchor you into the experience. Like I do that because I need my candle lit, my music, my soft sheets, like I need to have things that will keep me in the moment and not in my head.
Can I say something that helped me?
Yes.
Because that had been a big issue for me. And sometimes I'm not perfect now. I'm not like just like a fixed sex monster. Letting go. Mm-hmm. And almost like I used to overthink it. And that was like all I could think about. And I'd be like, God, I'm thinking about sexy things. And I'm thinking about stuff that turns me on. Like, why isn't this working? And it was kind of just like not really thinking about anything.
Yeah.
And being able to like be ugly with my body, even when I'm by myself, like yeah. not like holding everything back and holding it in.
Yeah.
It was just like not sucking my stomach in and just like just being.
Yeah, just being you. You're right. That letting go thing breathing. Is really huge. And breathing, you guys. I don't think I talk about every show. I should tell everyone how important. You don't want to hold your breath during sex. And the more that you breathe, and if you can just imagine breathing into your pelvic floor as well, Bethany, like. You can do that. Like it goes, because then you're like waking it up. You're like, oh, it's alive.
There's a certain way. And it's funny because like I've learned recently with the main squeeze, like yeah. there's a certain angle. There's just a certain move. We're like all like humping right now yeah. in the air, guys.
It's true.
we're all just like freaking it yeah. down. that was yeah. great. But it's not like going really fast for me and it's not going really slow. It's like all of a sudden it clicks in.
Yep.
Whether you're alone or with someone, and you'll find that. And then once you like hit that motion, you'll start recognizing it and you're like, oh yeah.
And then there's a muscle memory almost to it. Cause then yeah. you remember that that's a space and it is letting go. And my friends, when I couldn't have orgasms, they were like, just let go. I'm like, what the hell
you're
does
like,
that
shut
mean?
The but you're fuck up.
Yeah. I can't let go. If I could let go, I'd let go. I'm gonna let go of you right now. But I get it. And there is a letting go. There is a mind clearing. So I think I answered this question. So mentally into it, you have to be, yeah, I think you got to be into it and be have your brain and your body connected
just
around sex.
Just be relaxed. Exactly. Although sometimes sex relaxes me. Like sometimes I'm like so tightly wound that I'm like,
yes.
I really need to hook up right now.
I do too. Okay. Thank you, Bethany. You'll get this. Just relax. It's true. And breathe. Did you ever date online?
Yeah.
Did
I
bumbled.
I had a good like year and a half Bumble spree.
Okay, good. Well, we've got a guy who's got some questions about dating apps, so you can help me. This is David, 28 in Texas. Hey, Emily, great show. I appreciate how it gives a little insight into the mind of women. Anyway, on to my question. I'm not the most confident nor most in shape man, so you can imagine how hard it is to find a woman who's interested in me. I've tried to get my foot in the door by using apps like Tinder and Bumble. However, I'm still not getting any hits. Do you have any advice on how to create an interesting dating profile? I'm just an average guy trying to make something of himself, but how do you make average sound fun? Any advice is appreciated. Thanks in advance. Also, how important is scenery in pictures? I'd say I'm at least decent looking, but most of my pics are at home. So I read this, thanks again, and I was like, oh, like he's really want specific. He's like, scenery, like what should I do? And I wanted to help him. Like I was like, okay, David, like we're going to get into this for you. And I feel like, and I've been on the apps before, that it is true that a lot of guys just, they don't, it's a marketing job. It really, you got to figure out the best pictures. Like guys like have, don't, aren't great at taking pictures of themselves.
No, they're oftentimes. Terrible. And they right. can be creepy a lot of times.
Yeah, they don't mean to be.
It. I've rioted with my friends actually last night. We were out to dinner and I was like, can I play with you, Raya?
Yeah, Raya's my friend. I played with my friends, yeah. Raya. It's a dating app for celebrities last night at dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I've done that with Bumble and yeah. I've gone through my friends' Bumble profiles and I'm like, nope, get rid of this. You need to say yep. this first. I don't like that he's just saying, I'm an average
well, that's,
guy.
Well, that's where I was going to lead. Okay. Yeah, no, me neither. That made me,
right.
The fact that you're saying you can imagine how hard it is to find a woman interested in me and you've said here three times that you're average, you're not attractive, and it was alarming, same to you, Jacqueline, yeah. that my heart's like, no, we got to work on your confidence yeah. before your profile.
No, we're not worrying about like scenery and
exactly.
trees.
Scenery is not our first challenge.
And Valencia filter.
Exactly. No, I don't. Do. I think that we could tell you to write the most interesting profile in the world right now. And we could do it for you. And we are going to give you some tips here in a minute because I've got some just basic do's and don'ts. But I just don't think any of this is true. That's the story you're telling yourself about being average. If you believe that about yourself and you perpetuate, then you're going to continue to feel average and therefore you're going to present to the world as average. So I just don't think this is true. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why you feel average. You sound like a lovely guy. And I got to be honest with you, this notion that women are so like into guy, like they're into like the abs and the looks. There are many women who are, but for me, it's like, and for a lot of people I know, it's about like personality and connection. And do you like the person?
It's interest based.
Yeah.
Like if you can dig the same things, and granted, like yin and yang, there can be opposites attract, which is fine too. But I know, especially when I was going on there, I liked guys that wanted the same things. Right. So I think you should kind of put what you want and what you're actually interested in, because the person that likes those things isn't going to think it's boring and average.
Exactly. What you're into. Even if you're like somebody who's like, I like to stay home and cook. Believe me, there's many people who don't want to leave their house and they want to cook. It's fine. So I just want you to present this as you're confident. Like if you present it that way, you'll start. It's like
confident in what you love.
Yeah, exactly.
Being confident.
Because that's your interest. Whole nerd thing. Like people are like, oh, it was never cool to like computer. If you're into something passionately, that is so hot, no matter what it is. Tips though, I would say, nature's great if you hike, but I wouldn't worry about it. But I think if you do, like you could take it on your front lawn, whatever. Outdoor might be cool, but
blue is the most popular color on Instagram.
I just told them that. Yeah.
Yeah. So blue just attracts. You don't have to have blue eyes, but maybe a blue shirt or something that just catches the eye. I don't know if it relaxes your eyes, or people are drawn to blue for some reason.
Interesting.
Green shows money. Not that you want to attract a girl that's into money, but green is also just a power color, I feel like.
Yep.
So if you get some of that in there, girls love dogs.
Yeah, dogs are great. So here's the advice. Animals are great. Outdoors, traveling, if you do that, show your interest in the picture. So no matter what it is, if you're cooking, show yourself cooking. And have your full body is great. Or you're just even your torso up is cool. Like just to show someone, not just all headshots or
face
shots.
Don't have to be ripped. It's
no,
not about
I don't
that.
Mean naked. Like I don't mean full body with out of shirt. No, I don't want to see. If a guy shows their bodies, I swipe away.
I don't like it.
Left. And there was a study that came out that men looking away from the camera and women looking into the camera, like women are attracted to men who are looking away slightly askew. I don't know why, but that's a thing. But I would also say finally that if you're really interested, once we get your confidence up and you realize that you are a cool, awesome guy, which you already are, there's nothing that needs to change right now, just the way you think about yourself, show your friends, show your family, people that you trust, girlfriends that you have, how are these pictures? Get another approval. Because we are often our own worst. We don't know what looks good.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
We're our worst enemy.
Hey, we are our worst enemies. We're super critical.
You could be leaving out the hottest picture of yourself. Also, I feel like everyone connects with music. So if you show that you're at either like a country, I don't really like country, but if you're at I was just in a wedding. It was a Bumble wedding. They met on Bumble
They
loved country music. And so show what kind of festival you would go to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that definitely connects a lot of people.
That's true too. Music.
And comedy.
Universal. True. Okay. Funny girl. This is from Mele, 28 in Hawaii. Hey, Emily, I love the show and you. Your guidance has made it possible for me to enjoy masturbation when I never thought I could. Thank you. I'm pretty sure I'm straight and would only want a relationship with a man, but recently I've been thinking about experimenting with women. My question is, where is a safe and discreet place to find someone to experiment with? This is a very small island, and Tinder has even matched me with my cousins before, so I'm hesitant to try that out. That would suck. What do you think? Thanks so much for answering my question. Love you and your team. Okay, sweetie, here's the thing. I mean, but people don't realize, like, I get you're afraid people are going to find you. They're going to notice. They're going to talk about it, but people are busy in their own lives, and I think that people just want you to be happy and find whatever you're interested in, right? Totally. So I think that there's a lot of meetup sites. I actually searched Hawaii, like gay, lesbian, and there are meetup sites there. Like, you know, meetups like meetup.org or .com when it first came out. There's like meetups for everything. Like, you can find meetup for singles. Literally, you can find that. There are other dating apps besides Tinder. You can find ones like that are options for, you know, women. Do you have any friends in the gay scene? They could like take you out, meet their friends. I think that's how it happens. And then putting the intention out there to friends that you know and just letting them know, like, I'm kind of interested in maybe exploring. Because once you start to kind of, all you need is to go to like one like lesbian barbecue or gay, like you'll find
you'll
people.
You'll be embraced.
You'll be, really.
And also, like, I met my boyfriend, granted I'm not gay, but through a mutual friend. So I think putting it out there to friends that you're single and that you're looking is a great way to meet someone. And I think look at it like you're moving to a new city, even though you're not. This is a new genre for you.
Yep.
So what would you do if you were looking for a new job, if you were looking for a new house, if you were looking for a new local bar to hang out
at? It's true.
You know, like, you got to seek it out.
It's and so not be true. Scared Let every, of it. It's true. Like, when you move to a new city or anything, or looking, I always tell people, when you're looking for a job or related, treat it like you're looking for a job. So wherever you go, you tell your friends or family, hey, I'm looking for work. So if you're single, I'm single, I'm looking for people, have them fix me up. But the more you start talking about it, it will present itself. Yeah. That's how the universe works. Okay, we have one more. This is from Caitlin, 23 in Ireland. Hey, Emily, I love the podcast and I've been listening for the past year. So my question, I've been dating a guy for the past 11 weeks and we have vacation booked for 5 weeks away. Wow. We see each other a couple times a week and both get rid of dating apps and agree to not see anyone until we're official. He basically has me as a girlfriend without the title. I've brought it up before, and he just brushes the topic off. He's introduced me to his family and all his friends. I'm really confused and don't know what to make all of this. Should I just stick it out and go with it or leave as he won't officially commit? Hope to hear back. Would love to know what you think. I feel like I'm going crazy. So I'm trying to understand this here. He actually planned to go away with her after almost 3 months together. But he doesn't want to actually use the girlfriend title. I think that you have to bring it up again because he might just not like that title. Like, I don't like saying boyfriend.
No.
I barely say boyfriend. I like my guy, the guy I'm, you know, my main guy. I just don't. And so he might have a thing around titles. He's planned a trip with you, which is huge.
And introduced you to friends and family.
Yeah.
I kind of was in this situation at the beginning of our thing where, like, I had met all the friends. We had done all the things. We started dating in January, and he came to shows with me in, like, late March. And right before the first one, I was like, so how do I introduce you to everyone in the green room?
Right.
And he was like, however you want. Like, do you want to call me, like, Main Squeeze or whatever?
Right.
And then that stuck as, like, a nickname, Main right. Squeeze. And then it kind of just transitioned into it just being boyfriend and girlfriend. Right. But I think if I had pressed it in that moment, being like, well, are you my boyfriend or not? Right. I don't know if the outcome would have been that great because I don't think he was ready for that.
He wasn't ready for it. Some people, it's very charged. They might feel all the boyfriend-y moves, but they're not ready to say it yet.
And she's, Caitlin, 23?
Yeah, she's 23. She's young. They're going away. They're in Ireland. Yeah, exactly. So I just say that.
Take the pressure off.
Yep.
It's not, he's doing all the title things.
Right. He is doing all the things. He is, and you trust him. So I think you can ask him, like, what it means to, you know, are you guys, and I think it's more important rather than defining it, the title, are you guys sleeping with other people? What are the rules? Like, that's important,
she
too.
She said that they said they would be committed once they decided on the title. So
they got rid of the apps, but not to see anyone else, but we're not official. If you're not seeing anyone else.
Yeah.
What we're just talking about title here.
Yeah.
So you just got to talk to him about it again. Yeah. And just make it light. You guys remember, these conversations are not like, we need to talk about the title of our relationship.
Can we talk? Is the worst thing you could say to a guy.
It is. Just be like, babe, I was kind of confused. We talk like, so I don't, you could do the thing that Jacqueline did. You'd be like, my parents are asking, like, how do you feel about boyfriend? What do I call you?
What should I call you?
I think Ben, my boyfriend, did that to me too. He's like, what do you call me? I'm like, the guy I'm fucking? I didn't say that. But, yeah, it's weird. That happened. That happens all the time. This is common. So, Caitlin, yes, this is common. This happens. Have another conversation.
Just,
you're fine.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And if you don't get the outcome you want, but he's still doing all the boyfriend things, let him do the boyfriend things and revisit it. I'm never letting you drink wine in the afternoon.
I never do. The whole thing. I just yawned. Oh, my God. But this is so fun. I love it. Jacqueline Marfuji, tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, you can find my podcast, What's Your Jersey, on iTunes and Audio Boom Network. And I post all my show dates and, you know, acting gigs and stuff I'm doing just on social media at Jacqueline Marfuji. And I'll spell it out because someone yelled at me for not spelling it out.
Yeah, spell it. You have to.
Yes. It's JacqueLynMarfuggi.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I post all that. And I'm the online fitness instructor for Plyo Gym Workouts. So if you're not in the Los Angeles area and can't come to a class and you want to get your dance on, I say it's like Zumba, but like cool. Like okay. It's like Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, Britney, like all the things.
Okay.
And you can take classes with me online at plyojam.com.
That's so cool. Okay, and we'll have links to all these things in the show notes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I had a blast. I loved it. Yes. And I love my listeners. Thank you everyone for listening. My amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Here's a listener email I recently received, and let me tell you, it's not the only one of its kind. Hi, Emily. I'm a 38-year-old single mom who wants to get back on the dating scene, but I'm terrified. I've been dealing with bladder leakage and actually started wearing pads every day just to be safe. Between the leaking and the pads, I'm totally insecure about spontaneous intimacy with a new partner. How can I move past this? Well, first, let me tell you that she's not alone. It's actually estimated that 40 million women use pads every day for bladder leaks. Young, old, with, without kids. But let me tell you, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There are solutions though, and it's not just pads. The Apex by Pormois is an affordable device that uses gentle electrostimulation to create an extremely effective Kegel workout automatically. Not only does a strong pelvic floor help prevent the old sneeze and pee situation, it can increase the strength and frequency of your orgasms, which should also help make you want to get intimate again. Similar to the intensity that I've spoken about for years, the Apex delivers the same results without the rabbit vibrator functions, making it the perfect option for women who are sensitive to stimulation. To start using an Apex and stop relying on pads, visit pormois.com/Emily. That's P-O-U-R-M-O-I.com/Emily.